Welcome to worship at First Lutheran Church on this third Sunday of Easter, the 26th of April, 2020. Let us pray. O God, we don't know what lies ahead. Therefore, journey with us so that we may draw strength from your word and comfort from your presence with us until the end. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, where do you go when your life has been turned upside down? What do you do when every norm seems to have been turned inside out? How do you find your anchor when it feels like God is very distant from your immediate situation in life? Or even worse yet, when it feels like God isn't even there anymore? That Easter just was some kind of unreliable mirage in the desert. If COVID-19 isn't an example of how our lives have been turned upside down, inside out, or made us feel as though the line to our anchor has been severed, leaving us adrift, then I'm not sure what would be. We're beginning week 7 since we received Bishop Paul's guidance to close the doors of our in-person worship services at First Lutheran back on March 15th. And I've noticed as I watched last Sunday's virtual service that all of our lectors and worship assistants and your pastor need haircuts. Now, Lisa ordered clippers to give her dog a trim, and I knew I was in psychological trouble when I felt jealous of the dog. But this really is no laughing matter. In a Zoom quarantine session I had last week with old colleagues and friends, the reflection soon moved from the absurd, like wishing I was Lisa's dog, to serious concerns about the effects of psychological isolation and the fact that there really is no end in sight. Despite some early signs of hope, as the death statistics have leveled out in some places across the globe, experts at the CDC have been warning that the next wave may be even more devastating than the first. Families sheltering in place are struggling as they try to share limited computer access for studies, for work, or worse than that, try to figure out how to put food on the table or pay the rent or mortgage without any idea whatsoever when the next paycheck may be coming or not at all. If ever there was a great divide between the haves and the have-nots, that's become more evident because of COVID-19. Over the course of the past 7 weeks. I'm hearing from people who have loved ones who are ill or dying with no way possible to be present to them other than through prayer. There are elders languishing in isolation week after week, caregiver children or spouses who ache to be with them but do not dare risk infecting them. Separation from our loved ones, young and in love or old and in love, trapped in the conundrum of not knowing whether to risk reunions or wait it out indefinitely, all takes a toll as the days turn to weeks and now the weeks are turning to months. And against the backdrop of these more manageable dilemmas, the real and life and death struggles go on. Medical personnel and first responders literally laying their lives on the line as they go about their daily work under unimaginable conditions, ill-equipped in some cases, and emotionally and physically exhausted in most cases. Thank God, all across the globe, people are recognizing that sacrifice, maybe for the first time in some cases, and making noise and celebrating at the beginning and ends of shifts. The layers and layers of angst and disappointment and the heaviness of not having any idea really about what's coming next has become the new norm for those of us living here in the epicenter of this virus in this country, but for others who have not experienced the coronavirus up close and personally. Their impatience with the lockdowns has begun to erupt in angry protests. And so the great divide continues to deepen in this country. So where do you go when your life has been turned upside down? What do you do when every norm seems to have been turned inside out? Well, our gospel lesson for today begins with a very poignant scene. Two friends who knew Jesus and had such hope for him, who believed that he was the one to redeem Israel, the long-awaited Savior, Messiah. And now all their hopes are dashed. They can no longer bear that atmosphere of despair in Jerusalem. And so these two friends have left the community of Jesus' confused disciples behind them and are making their way towards a village called Emmaus, which was about a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem. Now, perhaps it was their home village. We don't really know. But I think we can identify, in any case, with their anxiety and their uncertainty about what the future would bring. If there was any place you and I could run away to and return to the old normal, I think most of us would be heading there post-haste. This invisible enemy out there is hard to fight. We don't know what to believe, what to think, what to expect, or even what we can reasonably hope for. In this, we are probably feeling very, very much like those two followers of Jesus were feeling as they journeyed away from Jerusalem and headed toward Emmaus. We're on a journey too, and we don't even know what the destination will be. The writer of Luke's gospel sets his entire account of the life and ministry and mission and suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus in the context of a journey. Jesus' journey begins along the Sea of Galilee and moves towards Jerusalem, the cross, death, resurrection, and ascension. The writer of St. Luke's gospel also describes the story of the early Christian community as a journey which begins in Jerusalem and eventually, as we learn in the book of Acts, the successor to Luke, reaches out to the ends of the earth. In fact, the disciples in the early church community are frequently even referred to as the people of the journey. Perhaps this is why we often refer to the process of the deepening of our faith through the lived experiences of our lives as our faith journeys. We might even notice how often in Scripture Jesus meets his followers as they are moving forward in faith, taking risks on the move. So it is really no surprise that in the pivotal story in the Gospel of Luke, the context is a journey. The two friends on the road to Emmaus are involved in an intense discussion along the way, analyzing all that has happened, trying to make sense of it, but soon they realize that they can really not make any sense of it, not on their own. And just then, as the journey continues forward, Jesus himself came near and went with them, as Luke 24 puts it. At first, I don't realize that this stranger is Jesus. And as they walk on together and relive the recent events in Jerusalem, it is in fact Jesus who helps them make the connections, connecting the dots, recounting for them the whole sweep of salvation history, interpreting for them the meaning of all the journeying of the people of Israel. Jesus is the one who explains the prophecies and how they've been fulfilled in the journey of Jesus himself from Galilee to Jerusalem, from the grave to the resurrection. But notice too, that it is not until the two friends invite the stranger to stay with them and to join them in their evening meal that they actually recognize Jesus. We read in Luke's gospel that it is in the blessing of the bread, as Jesus broke it and gave it to them, that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. We immediately recall Jesus' words and his actions at the feeding of the multitudes earlier in Luke 9, and as we are reminded of Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper in the context of that last Passover meal that he shared with his disciples on the day we now traditionally mark as Maundy Thursday. As soon as these two traveling companions recognize Jesus, Jesus vanishes. And with their hearts burning within them, The two friends immediately get up and they return to Jerusalem. They return to their community, to the 11 disciples and their companions who are gathered together. I wonder if you noticed the pattern in this story. It goes like this. The two travelers are met on the road, have the scriptures explained to them, share in a meal that reveals the identity and presence of Christ, and are sent to share and live out the good news of the risen Christ. I wonder if you noticed in this pattern the classic sequence of Christian worship. We gather together in the presence of God. We hear the word of God in scripture. We receive Christ in, with, and under the elements of Holy Communion. And then we're sent to do the work of God, which is to love God and our neighbors. So where do you go when your life has been turned upside down? One of the great joys of this story is a reminder that in Christian worship, we will encounter the risen Christ. This is the one who knows all our sorrows, all our disappointments, all our needs, and comes to us. Jesus listens to the two travelers on the road struggling to make sense of all that has happened, and as they invite him to stay longer with them, they come to recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. They receive hope and the joy of new life through their relationships with Jesus. When we come together, we are reminded that we are not alone. We have each other, the body of Christ. Perhaps that is what makes our mandated social distancing so excruciatingly painful, as the days of our physical separation have dragged on and on with no end in sight. We are missing the short, long journeys from our pews at First Lutheran up the aisle to the communion rail each Sunday when we gather together to receive in the elements of Holy Communion, the bread and the wine, the very real presence of Christ, to strengthen and empower us to continue this particularly challenging segment of our journey of faith and life. But friends, the good news for today is that God is still with us. Scripture reminds us over and over again that God is good and generous and can be counted on in every age and every circumstance, even this one, that God's steadfast love never ceases. So as we continue this unwanted journey with COVID-19 every day, if we're paying attention, there are new stories emerging to show us how God is still with us along our way. We may not be able to break bread together, but many of us are sharing a glass of wine with each other during spirit-sustaining quarantini sessions on Zoom, or as we do our Zoom fellowship breakfasts or our Zoom pub nights at First Lutheran. We see each other. We laugh with each other. We hear and read in the newspapers, too, about how medical advances and data are being shared globally towards the goal of developing an effective vaccination. How neighbors are caring for neighbors they never even bothered to meet before. How all kinds of people in all kinds of circumstances are finding creative ways to nurture community and friendship across these enforced social distancing rules. Our hearts are being opened in new ways to frontline workers in hospitals, first responders, those who take away our refuse and stock our supermarket shelves. We have realized recently that those who attend virtual worship with us at First Lutheran are more than double the number of those who have traditionally populated our pews on a Sunday morning. And on Easter Sunday, Rosemary reports 473 people worshiped with us for our joint virtual service with St. John's Lutheran. That's something to celebrate. People are drawn to the divine, the sacred, the holy, and to community. They are dying for want of grace and wonder and mystery, and not for want of bylaws and committees and sign-up sheets and strategic planning. The crowds in our first reading today from Acts, after hearing Peter's impassioned sermon, ask this question: what should we do? And the answer comes to us in our second reading from 1 Peter 1, verse 22. And that answer is this: love one another deeply from the heart. Where do you go when your life has been turned upside down? What do you do when every norm seems to have been turned inside out? You size up the situation as it is, and you figure out how best to love one another deeply from the heart. And when you do this, when you break open your fears and reinvest them in the needs of those around you, when in the midst of the new normal that sorely tries your patience and plays games with your psyche, and truly strive to love one another deeply from the heart, that is where Jesus will join you on the journey, your faith journey, and reveal himself to you. That is where you will find God's peace in the midst of the COVID chaos all around us. Amen.